Hello, welcome to another episode of Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. I'm Dave.
I'm Eric.
Thank you for all the awesome response we had to our two-year anniversary episode that we put up a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
The love has been pouring out on Twitter and Facebook, and people created a Tumblr to tell us how much they loved it. Fantastic. So thank you for that.
I am committing to this bit.
What bit?
The truth.
Yeah, we're thanking everybody. So this is Eric and Dave talking with Eric and Dave. We've had birthday festivities for 3 weeks now, so we're back to just, you know what episode this is? Just a regular episode.
Finally.
Yeah.
That's all I ever wanted, Dave.
Yep.
And we apologize for the rerun last week.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going against the Olympics or something. Mm. St. Paddy's Day, maybe?
I'm sure there's something.
Yeah,
there's probably Gay Olympics? Paralympics. I always get those two confused.
Yeah. You don't watch The Killing, do you?
No.
Which
one is that?
The one with Joel Kinnaman and Mariel Enos. You know what? It actually came up when I was putting together clips for the... it's funny, because just in the last week, I watched the first two episodes. Like, steamrolled through them. 26 episodes. That's all I watched. I was consumed by The Killing.
I heard it wasn't very good. Brittany likes it.
I like the acting in it.
Yeah.
The two leads are fantastic. And then a lot of the supporting... It's one of the most poorly written, awesomely written shows I've ever seen.
Like, isn't that chick from Hannibal on that?
She is, Casey Roll. I was going to bring her up.
Her.
Yeah. She's a lot hotter on The Killing than she was on Hannibal.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I didn't find her all that attractive on Hannibal.
She was more cute on Hannibal.
I didn't think she was anything on Hannibal.
Really?
But
she's the cutest. Those big eyes.
The Killing, she was fantastic. But, I was listening back to clips, and I actually asked about The Killing on one, and your thing was like, oh, I watched like the first hour of it. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I watched The Killing, and I enjoy it. If you watch it as a 26-episode first season with like a mid-season break, if you pretend it's all one season and that the first season finale is just like the fall finale, pretty solid first season television.
Okay.
If you're watching it week to week over 2 years, thing takes place in like 20 days, so
yeah.
That's kind of hard to... I like it, though. The acting's good, but the writing, there's really good writing, and like the acting, they're put in good positions to do stuff, but the story is just sloppy. I don't know why I brought up The Killing.
Well, it's fun to talk about things.
Yeah, and it did.
I gotta watch that True Detective you told me a couple minutes ago.
True Detective is... Yeah. The season finale floored me. I cannot believe that was who the Yellow King was.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, man, I was blown away.
No spoilers, please.
That finale, let me tell you about the season finale.
Spoilers,
it was awesome.
Dang. I haven't seen it yet.
The Yellow King, it blew my mind who it was. You'd think you would have seen it coming, but you didn't. I really like how it played out. I could talk more in depth about the first five episodes. The Alexander Daddario sex scene. All the other stuff going on.
When was the tracking shot?
That was episode 4 or 5.
That was
4.
Cool.
It was awesome, yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. That director's not coming back for season 2, which is bad, because he's awesome. The writing is okay, but the dialogue is terrible. Like, the actual storytelling, solid.
What the dialogue's been?
Dialogue is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it has its moments. It's
that's not a deal breaker, necessarily.
Yeah, but I mean, when it's bad, it's really bad. Like, it's really bad at
How
times.
How so? Is it like Nori?
I'm going to reenact, Woody Harrelson's character... in 2002, is cheating on his wife with a girl that he met years ago, okay? So here's a phone conversation between the two. Hey, Woody Harrelson, what are you doing? Nothing. I got to go home. I can't come over tonight. Oh, I've just been thinking about you all day. I can't. I got to go home to my family tonight. You know, I've been thinking about the butt, and, like, I've never done that before, and I want you to do me in the butt. That's actual word-for-word dialogue.
That she wants it in the butt.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
Yeah, but...
you gotta be upfront about the butt, even though the butt's in the back.
There's a lot of ass,
sometimes,
like,
you put the butt on front street.
I think the writer's obsessed with ass play.
Well, why wouldn't he be?
There's a few references to it, but Michelle Monaghan's cute. Alexander Daddario's cute.
McConaughey's cute.
McConaughey... Not in the...
In real life.
92 he is, or 96, whenever the first part of the story takes place. Mm. Present day Matthew McConaughey? Not super hot, but Oscar
winner. Academy
Award
winner, Matthew McConaughey.
starring with Academy Award winner Jared Leto.
That blows my mind.
I knew it was coming.
How did you know it was
coming? He's really fucking good in that movie.
I guess. I don't know. I
caught that from the trailer. On Movies on Up, when the trailer for that movie came out, I said, this movie looks like a movie Jared Leto's going to get an Oscar for. And he got an Oscar for it.
Well, you called that one. You're the only person with faith in Jared Leto.
I do love Jared Leto.
It's Leto now? I've been saying Leto for like 12 years.
I always say Leto. I always say Leto. Have you seen this picture of Jared Leto?
No, I don't want to see it. Hold on. I don't care about him.
Hold on. Let me find it on my phone. I have too many pictures of
Jared Leto.
I pull out my phone far too often on at work, and there's just shirtless pictures of Scott Kahn and bikini pictures of Michaela Maroney that you just see. Like, this is what customers see. It's bikini, Scott Kahn. Now there's Michaela with the sequel to her fantastic picture.
Yeah, that leg's not as elevated as the previous one.
No, but the face makes up for it, yeah. The second picture.
Now that she's 18, we can talk about this, and Mike won't be weirded out. I think everyone else was fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do Jailbreak later. Eric wanted to do a special segment. First off, we have some big news.
Did I?
Yeah. We have big news. One thing that didn't get mentioned in our 2-year anniversary episode 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, or whatever. That pen looks like a dick. They both do. The red and the blue. The
pens?
Yeah, they look like a mushroom tip.
Oh, I guess they do, yeah. The highlighters, they're not pens.
Yeah. One thing that didn't come up was one of our most popular segments in the first 8 episodes until Eric killed it in the 9th, Heroes. We used to do a segment where we talked about Heroes. Heroes is coming back, Eric.
Heroes is coming back, and that means...
The segment was so popular, NBC brought Heroes back.
That's entirely because of us, because no one else was talking about Heroes in the past 2 years besides you and me.
Yep. So Heroes is back.
So you can look forward in 2015 to the return of Eric and Dave bitching about Heroes.
You know, I have... It could be good.
It could be.
If they try to tie it in with the old cast in any way, it will kill it. If you do a complete, if you start from scratch and just completely start up a new Heroes show, it can be good. You cannot tie in the old cast at all.
Some of those actors aren't really working anymore. They might want
to
come back.
They probably want to, but fuck them. They had their chance and they carnied it up.
It's not their fault. It's not the actor's fault.
They didn't say, I will not film this script.
they got to work, man.
The one's married to a Dixie chick.
Well, fuck him. Which one?
Adrian Pasdar.
Oh, Nathan Petrelli.
Yeah.
He's dead anyway. That never stopped Heroes, right?
No, I thought Siler was in his body.
No. Siler was. But then he died for real and became Siler again.
See, they need to cut that shit out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the kind of shit they need to avoid. Like, learn from shows like, you know what? Walking Dead's terrible. But learn from a show like that that you can kill off characters. Even if they're light, you can kill them off. Like, The Following doesn't hesitate to kill people. Sons of Anarchy. Like, you gotta kill them off and keep them dead, or else there's no stakes. Like, that's why I quit watching in the first place. Because if you come back with none of the original cast, hire little hot cheerleaders to be in it and star.
Yeah, give me another 16-year-old cheerleader, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. And,
I have some I can suggest. There's a lot of actresses around that age range that would be perfect.
And when people die, make it a less convoluted story, more focused. It shouldn't be all over the place like that. And it shouldn't be to a point where, like, oh, everybody ends up with heroes, with powers. Like, have characters that don't have powers.
That's why I like to know what Bennett.
That's just as compelling because, oh, I'm surrounded by all these people with powers. But then you go and you give Hero's friend fucking powers.
Which he never used.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. Like, just shut up. Just... Like, True Blood. True Blood has gotten ridiculous because now there's nobody that's not something. Like, it was so... Like, okay, we knew about vampires. And then, oh, what's her name? Anna Paquin was so crazy because she could do this weird stuff. But now everybody is something.
That redhead chick, though. What's her name? Deborah Ann Woll?
Is that the Hoyts Jessica?
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, I've never seen her outside of True Blood.
You know, like, pictures of her?
Yeah,
you've seen her. You know she's hot.
Yeah,
you know, I don't have to explain to you that she's a hot woman.
I can't stand her in those Wendy's commercials, though.
I think that's a different.
Pretty sure it's the same. Right. But anyways, we'll be bitching about Heroes again.
We just did. We're off to. We're already back in the swing of things.
That was a bad high five.
We are bad at.
That was a terrible high five.
Your hands are so fucking fat. Oh, fuck it. Never mind.
Me and Mike had really good.
I know you did.
You just have a terrible high five.
I high five people well. It's your fault.
Your
big, clammy, fat hands.
Are we still on? Hello, hello? Hello, hello? Okay, there we are. Hello, hello?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry if it cut out. You missed Eric yelling at me for the 1,000th fucking time on the show.
I don't yell at you a lot.
But yeah, so
when you deserve it.
That was Eric and Dave Bitch About Heroes. More coming in 2016, 15? When's that coming?
2015, I believe. It's not this summer. They don't have time. They have to write it.
They're actually going to try that this time?
Yeah, they're going to write it more than a week in advance.
My buddy's starting up a podcast about, like...
Oh, everyone is.
This almost happened, where he's going to look at stuff in, like, history and, like, say, like, oh, this almost happened, but what would have happened if this...
That's interesting.
Like, one suggestion I gave was, what if, you know, Sly Stallone was cast as Axel Foley?
That's the best suggestion you gave him?
No, it's one suggestion I gave him. But another good one would be, like, what if the writer's strike wouldn't have happened in season two of Heroes? Because season two of Heroes was starting... It started off terrible, started to get good, writer's strike.
Yeah, I don't know why they felt they needed to... Because Peter Petrelli is supposed to drop that vial and release the virus in the world. They still could have done that.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so that would be a good one.
And then he wouldn't have abandoned his girlfriend in an alternate future.
Because,
Don't get me started on fucking her.
Because, Breaking Bad was weird, too, with the writer's strike. Like, this... was like the second episode of season two was basically the season finale of season one. So that was weird. But Eric wants to do this special segment.
Oh, yeah, I do want to do this. Okay.
Where we watch. Oh, you got to watch my screen?
Well, no, I can do it here. I can put it up on my screen.
No, because then, then we have to sync. We'll have to like do our watches. I'll make it full screen.
It's all right if it's a little off. I got a screen.
No, I got you. I got you, bro. I got you, bro. Eric wants to do what ICP does on ICP Theater.
I think of this as more as what we've done at the Cribbly Tape and Bacella Bellaria, where we review a disaster that happened to America, and we kind of pick it apart.
And this one took place on the South Towers.
Yes.
Tower. RIP.
Yeah.
This is us, Eric and Dave, watching Roland, parentheses, air raid vehicle, the video from... Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, the full name of that song, in case you've forgotten, I certainly did, is Rollin' Parentheses Air Raid Vehicle.
Here, stop yours. We're watching mine.
Okay, all right.
All right, I'll let you take the lead.
Yeah. Now, hold on. That's a different song playing now. The video's for Rollin' in My Generation.
Oh, is it two songs?
Yeah. Hey, yo. Yo, Red Cap. Hey, Ben Stiller just got out of a car.
With Steven Dorff?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Wait, pause it for a second.
That is Steven Dorff.
Pause it for a second. All right, here's what's happened. This is the cold open of the music video. The music hasn't started yet.
Ben Stiller and Steven Dorff pull up, listening to other Limp Bizkit songs.
Yes. My Generation, which came... both those videos came out the same day, Rollin' in My Generation. They were the lead singles off of Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
Which is the worst album title in the history of the world.
Yes. I almost owned Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water. I borrowed it from a friend... It was too long to burn on the CDs I had. Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water is over 76 minutes long.
It should have been two albums. It should have been like Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, but just Chocolate Hot Dog, Electric Water Fish, or whatever they were called. Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
But thankfully...
Double album.
If I had had an 80-minute CD, I would have the shame of still owning to this day Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
But anyways, Fred Durst is sitting on the bench.
Yeah, just chilling,
and,
as Fred Durst is wont to do.
And Ben Stiller and Steven Dorff, can't imagine them ever hanging out, pull up to a valet and toss him the keys. Because in his baggy pants, white T-shirt, and backwards red hat... I could see.
Know what Fred Durst looks like. You didn't have to explain that.
I could confuse him easily for a valet driver.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is the best part, actually. So just. All right, partner.
Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is. Jesus. Is that on the album?
I think that's how the song starts.
He just looked at the
camera. And he just looked at the camera and lip synced that whole thing. Now this is. This was filmed on the helipad on the roof of the South Tower of the World Trade Center. I'm pretty convinced that the terrorists saw this and said, this is where we strike.
They probably thought they were still up there.
If they had shot this on the morning of September 11th.
Ooh. This video would have came out a lot differently.
Yeah. But look, he keeps doing this and it's kind of alternating between the helipad, Fred Durst in this room with dancing women dressed like him.
Yeah, that's
him driving Ben Stiller's car. And then I think Wes Borland breakdancing dressed as a wigger. If you play close attention to the lyrics of Rolling, you realize he doesn't say anything.
No. I mean, the chorus is rolling, rolling, rolling.
Yeah. But even the verses. And he's got this dance he's doing. Throwing his hands up when he says hands up. Throws his hand forward when he says back up. And when he says rolling, he does this side to side steering
like
wheel
he's driving
thing.
A car.
And at the what, they do a crotch chop. Listen to these lyrics. Insightful. Now, this is the censored version. I don't think you're missing anything. He said shit and fuck. It's, you know what it sounds like. Like, what? Dave, what is this song about? And don't say rolling. Don't say rolling.
Smoking weed?
I don't know. The song's about rolling, and I don't know what rolling means. He's driving a car.
Air raid vehicle.
I don't know what that means either. He was making people a lot of money, but I don't know why no one punched him in the face.
Yeah, like this is...
It's one of the most punchable faces.
People ate this up.
Yeah.
This band was one of the biggest bands in the world. This is at the peak of their...
This was Limp Bizkit at the top of their game. They let them. They said, hey, can we use the helipad of the World Trade Center? They said, absolutely. You're Fred
sure,
Durst.
Mr. Durst.
I mean, they had to stick.
There's a shot of the towers.
It ends with the shot of the Twin Towers.
I don't understand why it's called. It just recycled.
Yeah, it's playing again.
I don't understand why it's called. I understand why it's called Roland, because that can be heard in the lyrics if you listen.
Mm-hmm.
Air raid vehicle, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
Sad that it's on the helipad. Maybe that's, I don't know.
They just wanted to be on a building.
Yeah.
But I mean, how expensive was that video? They had to let them up there. They had to pay the space. They had to rent a helicopter. You never see music videos as expensive anymore.
Yeah, I don't. Do you see music videos at all?
No, but if you do, the real... And then someone's got an iPhone in the middle of it.
Yeah. That's the worst thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
That's.
I mean, I don't even know what to say about it, to be honest with you. I thought we'd get more insight, but it's just sort of shaking your head. And I mean,
like, there's nothing you can say about it.
That was pre-9/11 America right there, in a nutshell.
I think we need to bounce back from that. I prepared something for this episode. Your favorite segment. Are we done with Limp Bizkit, or do you have more?
I just feel like that encapsulates such a cultural moment before the towers fell. But this is the excess of America at the turn of the century.
Because you know what happened? You know what? To go back to music at this point.
Your point's better than mine.
That was like real aggressive, like real like loud, in your face. Like, that was the peak.
Yeah,
like, Korn and Limp Bizkit were the peak of music at that time.
I don't know what Fred Durst is so angry about.
But then, do you remember where music transitioned to shortly after this? It was all these little shitty bands that came up because of Limp Bizkit and Korn, like your Stained, your Hinder, and shit like that got their start. doing power ballads.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we drop from this real aggressive, like, we're just doing bitches and smoking weed to...
Rolling.
It's to put been it a while since you left me, or your lips of an angel. Like, it transitioned into, like, these aggressive, like, hard rock bands releasing power ballads as singles. Like, back when in the late 80s, early 90s, when your hair metal was the biggest thing on the planet, and then it transitioned into those big hair metal bands doing power ballads. Because, like, early 2000s was the return of the power ballads. And I feel like this helped kill music.
Yeah. I mean, other than watching Roland for yourself, I don't know how much else we can add.
Yeah.
But just, I am going to say I'm now glad that 9/11 happened. Because I feel like if it had not, Limp Bizkit would have continued.
Yeah, so fuck them. But your favorite segment, Profiles of Jailbait.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a couple.
Great, yeah. I got my Google queued up.
The first one you're not going to be able to Google.
Okay. Is it the girl you saw at Best Buy?
It is the girl I saw at Best Buy. There was
I tried to do one about the girl at the fair, you said it was creepy.
It was creepy, but this is different.
All right.
There is a girl that I saw randomly shopping at Best Buy and Niles that looks exactly like Michaela Maroney. Not like, oh, she looks like a thicker version or like a younger version. Like, she looked exactly like Michaela Maroney.
I'm sure she doesn't look exactly
like her. Exactly like her. She had the same built kind of legs. Like, you could tell she was probably a gymnast or a cheerleader because she was wearing, like, tight yoga pants. The only difference is she's probably 16-ish.
Yeah. Well, so was Michaela Maroney when she first
when
came
we
on
first
the
scene. She burst onto a scene, but the face looks exactly like her, body the same. Maybe I'm guessing she was like 5'2", 101, maybe like in that range.
That's about how big Michaela is. Might be a little shorter.
Yeah, like looked exactly like her. So much to the point that I grabbed other people in the store and said, "Hey, do you know who Michaela Maroney is?" And they're like, "Yeah, that gymnast that made that face." I'm like, "Yeah." I was like, "Look at that girl," and they said, "Holy crap, that girl looks just like her."
And any chance it was?
No.
No.
No, because I know her family.
Yeah.
She wasn't with her. I didn't see her little sister or brother. I know them from the Twitter and the Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, so do I.
But no, she was... I texted you about it.
You did.
And
I tried
getting pictures.
Well, that's your job also. I mean, I knew it was risky when I asked.
Every attempt got foiled, most of them by her dad catching me reading a text like this. Like with the phone above my... Yeah, so...
He's got to be used to that even from before when Michaela Maroney
especially
was
when
around.
She was like... Because she was in like tight yoga pants and then like a jacket undone, like unzipped with like a tight t-shirt underneath. Like what Michaela Maroney
would exactly.
Wear. Like, exactly stuff she wears.
I think that's just what a pretty teenage white girl looks like.
But she looked exactly like her. Like, exactly. I asked so many people in the store, "Hey, do you know who that is?" "Yeah." "Holy crap, that chick looks like her." They're like, "Yeah, she's a little too young for me." And I said, "She's just right for me."
So, I know, be on the lookout for that bitch, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
So, if you go to Niles or Gerard or if you know this chick, have her hit me up on Facebook.
Yeah.
She likes older guys. I have another one. This is a profile in Jailbait. I'm going to play you a good portion of the video.
Okay. I've heard of this.
And then...
I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah. This is pretty amazing. And then we'll go into some history.
Give me chocolate. We'll be right back.
there's no visual element to the podcast, obviously. Perhaps yeah, you should explain to people what we just witnessed.
That's what I wanted to. You had to hear it first. Yeah, Are we still there? Hello? Hello? Yeah. So it's this band. It's this Japanese band called Baby Metal.
Uh-huh.
Google image search Baby Metal.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they were younger when I saw them, but it's hard to tell with Japanese women.
They are.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
Well, no. Baby Metal consists of...
Yeah.
Oh, I just had their names pulled up. Sue Metal.
Okay.
She does vocals and dance. She was born December 20th, 1997. Age 16 right
now.
Okay.
Well, I'm getting so old that when I hear these late 90s things, my immediate thought is too young, but that's not anymore.
No, yeah. And then the other two that consist of the group is Moa Metal and Yumi Metal. They both do screams and dance.
I'm sorry, screams and dance?
Yeah, Moa Metal.
Only one actually sings?
Was born on July 4th, 1999, age 14.
Okay.
Yui Metal, born June 20th, 1999, age 14.
All right.
So they are younger.
Yeah, the one's a few years.
But the video we just listened to is by Baby Metal called Give Me Chocolate.
Yeah.
Watching that video introduced me to a bunch of fetishes I do not have. I did not know I had before. The whole point of Baby Metal is the record label wanted to combine death metal with idol music, which is what Japanese call
J-pop.
Pop music. Yeah. So it's death metal with these 16 and 14 year old girls doing choreographed dance.
Yeah, it's
the first part of that with the heavy riffs and stuff. They're doing a choreographed dance, and then even their singing is very theatrical and like acting it out and everything. This is obviously the 16-year-old.
Yeah, the one in the middle. She's like the talent of the group.
Yeah, and
they're not playing the guitars, obviously.
And they're all very cute. Like they look cute to a point where, like, they're cute little girls, but then their dress is like gothic schoolgirls.
Yeah,
headbanging and singing pop melodies over heavy metal music. And it makes me really horny.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. There's a lot of elements clashing here that shouldn't work together, but do.
Because, I mean, can we... I want to get to that chorus again. Because that chorus... Like, that dance is adorable.
Yeah, they're dancing right now. Like, an adorable...
Like, not what you would dance
to pop. They're not moshing or anything.
That's a damn catchy chorus.
Oh, Jesus. This is beautiful.
I fucking love this. Like, it's not even that, like, oh, they're cute, like, little Asian girls doing this. I enjoy the music. Like, I want the CD.
Yeah, this is...
I have the kids loving it.
This is exactly what I needed after Rolling. Thank you.
It is. It is. And, like, I'm glad we were on break during the summer because I love the Fox song, and I'm sure we would have talked about that
a little bit.
Yeah,
thank you. I'm glad we didn't have to
like,
do that.
Like, I love that song, and I had the kids still ask for that, but now they ask for Give Me Chocolate.
Good.
Because they love this. I'm ordering the CD so that... I don't know... It's yet to be proven whether they're saying any actual words or anything.
I'm assuming it's just Japanese.
Yeah. That's tough to tell. But that's how you write a chorus. And it's actually from a musical standpoint. Like, you're combining two styles of music, much like Limp Bizkit did. Mm-hmm. They weren't the first to do it, but much like they, I use this air quotingly, perfected rap metal.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Baby Metal's doing with pop metal. And it works perfectly. And then the girls... the moment I became first sexually attracted to them, which you like to address on that.
That's kind of the purpose of...
Was when I first saw them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, watching this video and seeing them dance and, like, looking at that, like, image search.
Yeah,
like, they're cute girls. Uh-huh. I don't even have an Asian thing. Like, I don't have an Asian...
I don't really either.
I don't have an Asian fetish, but these are cute.
I like it when an Asian woman has really big tits because it's like a unicorn, you know?
Like, these are pretty... Well, that one's creepy. Get that off the group. Get that off
that. That one's cool.
Those girls are like 11. See, that's...
They were schoolgirls in my defense.
Yeah, but they were literally like...
They were schoolgirls in my defense. What is that about?
I don't know. But this band, like, there are other... There's a lot... There's a whole bunch of videos. Much like I did with Yelvis after the Fox song. I went and watched every video they had.
Yeah. They know their songs?
Yeah, they know what they're doing. Whoever built these people know what they're doing. I mean, they're good videos. They're funny. Some of them are funny. The songs are all good. This is the one that's going viral and making them kind of big, but the songs are good. Like,
I mean, are the songs different? Because metal kind of all sounds
yes,
the same.
Yes, they actually are. And, like, this is like, I am a sucker for a good pop song. And this is basically taking, like, a good Selena Gomez song.
Now, hold on. I've never heard a good Selena Gomez song.
Love You Like a Love Song.
Cinderella was good, but you wrote that.
I love, this is basically taking, like, a good pop song and having Hammerfall do the backing. And I love Hammerfall. And this is like, my dream tour now is Hammerfall and Baby Metal touring together. That would be the most insane. That would almost top Dos Effects touring with Onyx for me, as far as like dream concert to attend. So that's, you know, I just want to.
So if they're not saying actual words, it doesn't matter because I don't speak Japanese anyway.
Yeah. This is why they're ahead of us in every aspect existence.
An American would never do this. This wouldn't work with American girls.
No.
It'd be weird.
They're all standing on separate speakers doing the devil fist headbanging. The double devil fist is nice. Choreographed dance again.
Yeah. If you spoke Japanese, I'm sure the lyrics are just as banal as those ones from Roland, you know? That was Japanese, but you want to mess with them business? You can't mess with them business.
I mean, it's a perfect.
What if it's the lyrics for Roland in Japanese?
And we just got punked. Damn you, Japan! Your cute
Fred,
little.
This is Fred Durst's idea.
Fuck, produced by Fred Durst. God, that. But yeah, that's Baby Metal. That's my other. Whatever this segment is. Profiles in Jailbait.
Did you have another one?
Huh?
Look like you had three.
No. Well,
that's it?
These are three. Yui Metal, Soul Metal, and Mui Metal. But yeah, they're.
I'm glad you're finally jumping on the Profiles in Jailbait bandwagon because for the first, like, 2 years, it was all me.
I just like that I made you uncomfortable last time. This one didn't make you uncomfortable with these girls.
And they're, yeah.
These girls are younger than the one that made you uncomfortable
last
time.
They're Asian.
That's true.
I can't tell how young a Japanese girl is.
14.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, because, I mean, they're pretty girls, too. Like, that's, they're not just like, oh, I'm attracted to them because they're doing this. Like, they're pretty Asian
girls.
Yeah,
they're good-looking women.
So, women might be a stretch.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them women. You're right.
But, watch their music videos on YouTube.
Yeah, so watch Roland, and then to cleanse that from your mind, watch Baby Metal.
And then Jerk Off. Because, they have a bunch. Gimme Chocolates, that one. Megastoon. Headbanger is a fun video. I'm not going to go through it, but she basically, there's music going on, and she finds a
neck
brace.
This was a live
brace.
Performance.
This was,
there's music videos, too.
Yeah, the Gimme Chocolate was a live performance. They released the DVD, the CD.
Well, live in what sense? I mean, they're on a stage.
I mean, it's a film, music. It's a live video.
Yeah.
So they did release, when they released the CD, there's a double disc version that comes with the DVD also. That is the one I'm trying to find. But that's Baby Metal.
It's nice to something you can watch with your children, and then when your children go to bed, you can watch again and masturbate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, much like Sophia the First or Little Mermaid. Yeah.
They're doing a live action version of that.
What?
Little Mermaid.
It's not the live act. It's live action. It's basically one of those gritty reboots. It's not a live action of the Little Mermaid. It's live action based on the play Little Mermaid, which is an adult fairy tale.
Well, still, I'm hoping
I believe
she
Joe
doesn't...
Wright is directing it.
Okay. Anyway, I hope that the titties are out in this one.
Mermaids don't sew, bitches.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes so. I love when we talk mermaids.
It happens a lot. it's a common subject of conversation between us for some reason.
More off mic.
Yeah.
Than on mic. We can't meet without talking mermaids.
No, it's.
That'd be a good sports team name.
The Mermaids?
Yeah, Miami Mermaids.
Wasn't there a merman? Or am I maybe I'm thinking of the fake team from the third season of Eastbound and Down.
Oh, maybe.
The Myrtle Beach Mermen.
Yeah.
Where Kenny Powers pitched.
Mermaids would be a good sports team name.
It would be. It'd be ladies' team, or they'd be mermen.
They don't have to be.
You can't have a team of guys called the Mermaids.
Why?
Because that's a feminine thing.
You think all ravens are male?
No, but that doesn't matter. You think all
tigers, there's only male tigers in the world?
But you wouldn't call them the Detroit Bears. Tigresses, right?
Because you don't call a female tiger a tigress. You call the female half-tiger, half-human from Thundercats tigress.
But I'm saying there's feminine forms of...
Did you ever see the fan-made trailer for Thundercats?
No.
It's pretty fucking phenomenal.
Do we have to watch it now?
No, it's a topic of conversation.
All right.
Look it up. Fan-made Thundercats trailer. It stars Brad Pitt, Vin Diesel.
I'm sorry. How so?
It's good. You got to... Brad Pitt is Lion-O.
But what do you mean he's Lion-O? They didn't film something with Brad Pitt as Lion-O.
You're
going to
make me pull it up. You're going to make me...
They didn't film Brad Pitt as Lion-O for the trailer.
Dude, do you understand film like fan trailers? Some of them are fucking phenomenal.
I don't know what a fan trailer is. It's just someone clips movies together, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but this is one of the better...
How is Brad Pitt Lion-O then?
What am I stuck on?
Stuck on me, baby.
Thundercats trailer. This one here. No, this is one of the best ones, and...
Explain to me how he's Lion-O. I will show you this.
It's as almost as good as there's a Nathan Fillion as Hal Jordan Green Lantern trailer.
Oh, he'd be great as Hal Jordan.
Yeah. See, it looks like a Thundercats movie.
Oh, he does the voice.
Oh wait, this isn't the right one. That's not the right one.
Oh, there's multiple of these.
Dude, if you look up, fan
they just do the voices though, right?
Huh?
Is that what you're saying? It's like footage of Lion-O or someone pretending to be Lion-O with Brad Pitt's voiceover, like dialogue from another movie.
No.
He didn't hire Brad Pitt and film it.
No, it's very good, like this effects work.
Is the mystic sword of Omens and the source of our powers. The Eye of Thundera.
Okay, they stole that special fight from Sauron.
The nobles gathered here.
Yeah.
Panthro, Chitara, Tigra will be teaching the skills.
Oh yeah, Hugh Jackman as Tigra.
Wisely. Wait, well.
That was Brad Pitt as Lion-O.
Thundera is gone. But someone's jacking off to this.
As Lord of the Thundercats, carry it in your heart.
This is some furry motherfucker we wanted to jack off.
Yeah, I can't make out the other one, but it looks like Bree Grant, the chick from Heroes.
Galacto years?
I'm not a kid anymore.
It's like something we were
Snark.
Oh Jesus!
With Brad Pitt.
Hold on, Snarf is Garfield. Oh Jesus! Hold on, hold on, pause it for a second. Pause it for a sec. It's Brad Pitt from Troy.
Yes.
And they painted Lion-O on him. Yeah. And Snarf is Garfield from the Garfield movie.
Yes.
Someone made this.
Yeah. So he spent a lot of time making this.
No one would spend this much time doing this unless it was to jack off.
Vin Diesel's Panthro.
Vin Diesel will be a good Panthro.
See, who's Chitara? Is that Brie Grant? I can't tell.
I can't tell either.
Because that makes no sense to have Vin Diesel, Brad Pitt, Hugh Jackman, and Brie Grant. I can't tell who that is.
She has short hair. She looks like the short hair chick from Heroes, but I don't know if she is or not. That's Hugh Jackman. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ancient spirits are evil. Transform this decayed form to Mumra.
He plays Mumra.
Arm yourself.
There's an ape from Planet of the Apes.
Lionel's in trouble.
Okay, but before my time is done, I think the Vin Diesel clips are from Riddick.
I will look down on your corpse and smile.
I mean, I do kind of want to see the movie now.
I know, isn't it good?
Cats come out to play. That's the tagline. I mean, yeah, it's a good trailer.
And then Vin Diesel saying it's an animal thing. Yeah, somebody spent... So the Hal Jordan Green Lantern one is really... The Nathan Fillion Green Lantern one's really good, too.
Well, he would be a good Green Lantern.
Because there's a lot of space footage of him anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
From
Firefly. Yes. Oh, can I plug something?
Yeah,
Firefly. Hannibal's back.
Yeah.
Watch Firefly, too. It's still on Netflix.
Yeah.
Watch Firefly and then Serenity. I've been meaning to have Brittany watch that. I think she'd like it.
Yeah.
And then Hannibal's back. It's been back for a few weeks. Great. Cinematography's beautiful. It's just a fantastic show.
I like that my biggest complaint with the first season was that it was too procedural. Like, uh-huh. It was too much Killer of the Week.
Yeah.
They tried to keep it going. Like, there was the ongoing arc, but there was too much Killer of the Week stuff thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
Second season's not as bad like that. Like, it's more focused on the actual story.
Even the Killer of the Week thing ties in nicely with the overall themes and the overall story.
It didn't always in the first one.
Not always in the first season, no.
Yeah, because that's why I'm drawn... I think that's why I like True Detective or The Killing, because, like, Killing was 26 episodes, one case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, True Detective is 6 episodes, one case, 20 years.
Well, he said if he makes it to the fourth season, that's going to be Red Dragon stretched out over 13 episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
To fourth season?
Yeah. If he makes it that far, because no one watches it for some reason.
They barely got to season 2.
It's really dark, though.
It's very dark.
It's like, it's not something, it's not really something you can binge.
It's the kind of thing that I honestly believe, if NBC canceled it this year, it's the kind of thing that would kill on Netflix. Like,
yeah.
Netflix brought The Killing back for, they're making a fourth season of The Killing to wrap the show up.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Hannibal getting the axe after this season, and Netflix stepping in and doing, like, you could do 15 episodes. Like,
yeah.
12, even 12 episodes. Like,
Brian Fuller, who's the showrunner, is pretty confident that even if it got canceled by NBC, you could get it picked up elsewhere. It's like an international co-production. So, like,
yeah,
NBC,
it'll go somewhere. Like,
is only financing half of it.
Like I said, Netflix would be perfect for it because that's a good binge watch show.
I don't know if it is because it's kind of emotionally draining.
Yeah, it can be.
Breaking Bad got like that towards the end too.
But it's heavy, like acting wise, like Hugh Dancy and Mads Mikkelsen.
Everyone's great. The small parts.
Yeah.
Scott Thompson has a really small role.
The other dude I like, the Canadian dude I like, the Abram, his last name's Abram. He was in Young People Fucking. He's Scott Thompson's partner.
They have really small roles as like medical. Well, I don't know what they are really.
They're
the ones who. Yeah,
they're in the morgue, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the ones who look over the bodies and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's real small parts, but they're always good real quick like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many great actors that a lot of them don't have much to do.
Yeah. Like, Lawrence Fishburne is really good on it. Carolyn DeVernis, who, if you haven't watched Wonderfalls, watch Wonderfalls. Wonderfalls, it's up there with Firefly as my favorite two TV shows ever. But, yeah, Hannibal's good. Watch Hannibal.
So, yeah, I'm not involved in the production of Hannibal. I just want more people
to
watch it.
I
want to
plug something else, too, because I have a big announcement to make.
Okay.
The Following just got picked up for a third season.
On.
Second season of The Following, I love it.
Everyone tells me The Following's terrible.
Everybody says The Following's terrible. I love it. Because you know what? When you read, like a couple weeks ago when you were reading through the fan fiction thing, stop looking at the clock.
I was just curious because I know I want to make sure we have time for fan fiction.
We have plenty of time.
Because it's a whole page and a half.
I know. We have plenty of time. The second page is upside down. But the first season, I liked it. I like the twists and turns and stuff. And that's how fan fiction was. It was very much like the first season of The Following, except maybe not as many turns in our fan fiction as in The Following. And second season, I like, I don't know what it is. I love Kevin Bacon. I love James Purefoy. Michael Weston is his character name, that Sean Ashmore. the dude from, he played Iceman in the X-Men movies. His character this season is awesome. The best deaths on network TV. Like, the most surprising, like, it just keeps me going. A show that I expect to surprise me still surprises me. And I'm glad it got a third season. Even if it's just me and Aaron watching. It's like the only show I watch live.
Yeah.
That and Shark Tank.
I do like Shark Tank. I was watching that the other night. The Laces guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Damon wanted to give him money so bad. Damon wanted so bad to give him money. We should go on Shark Tank.
We don't have any ideas or a business plan.
This.
Yeesh. What are we offering?
500 grand. 20. We'll say 20%, but I'll go up to 35.
Yeah, because they're going to offer. Well, no, they're not going to offer. We have to. They ask how much. How many, they always ask how many profits have you made this year, and it's zero. We're probably in the red, Dave.
Oh yeah, no, I spend money on this.
Yeah,
I spend money on breakfast.
Thank you, by the way. It's the same food he brought me last week.
Oh shit, no, I did bring breakfast again. We didn't talk about what I got you this week.
What'd you get me?
Donuts. Okay. I went to White House Fruit Farms, got you a pound of butter cheese and blueberry donuts.
I appreciate it.
But yeah, so that's this episode. We got Duck Dynasty fanfics. Talk for a second.
Okay. He's got to call his phone because work's up his ass. Work's why he couldn't come to my DVD taping, by the way, which went great. I'm going to plug that. DVD and CD will be coming out soon. I'm going to assume it's called The Prince of Youngstown by this point. That's the title I'm leaning towards. We got a great cover photo my dad took. It's going to be fantastic. So that's, you can buy that and stuff once that's available. I'll make that more obvious. But just then, you know, that's coming out. DVD and CD, The Prince of Youngstown. The DVD also features Jerry Jaffe. That'll probably have a different title because he's on there too. And then he'll have a CD for sale of just his set. So I'll probably sell them together as some sort of a bundle. And then I did this thing like last May called hashtag Rust Belt that I guess will come out eventually.
I thought that was supposed to be out in the summer.
Oh, Jesus. It is a headache, let me tell you.
Is it a Cleveland I Love You headache?
Yes. But I'm not bitter about this one. Because I'm sure if there was a fucking Christmas party, I would have been invited. Do I have to keep talking?
Yeah.
Don't.
There's an issue. Go for it. It's done. I fixed it.
Work? What? Don't you sell laptops? Why do they need you there so much?
I fixed it. I don't sell laptops.
You sold me a laptop once.
That was an older job.
Okay.
That's when I was working for Google. I don't work for Google anymore.
You're sad about that.
No,
Was it like that movie, The Internship?
No. Google was weird, dude. Google was
weird. Let's talk about Google, because when you worked for Google, you didn't want to admit it.
I wasn't allowed to say it. I was on a 12-month... I wasn't allowed to say I worked for Google.
Mm-hmm. I was.
I signed a 12-month confidentiality, non-disclosure agreement. Like, I couldn't tweet or, put on Facebook. I couldn't put anywhere that I worked for Google. If somebody asked me if I worked for Google, I couldn't say I worked for Google. Even though I had a name tag that said Google, a shirt that said Google, and I was selling Google stuff, I could not say I worked for Google.
That's weird.
It was very weird. The whole...
Is me keep constantly saying that you worked for Google on the podcast while you were fired from Google?
I wasn't fired. I was only on for a 3-month contract, and they extended me another month.
And then they fired you.
And then they fired. Not fired me. They just... My contract ran out. Okay. I knew it was only a 3-month...
That's being fired.
It was a 3-month thing. They extended me for a month. And then they said I could have come back. I did get called to come back, but I had already got the job I have now. And this is a steady job that I wasn't going to... Even though Google pays more, I like the idea that I have a job for more than 3 months at a time. So... but yeah, Google is weird. The whole training thing. Like, they rent out this whole hotel... And all the conference rooms and stuff had all the colors, like the bean bags and the balloons and stuff. Like, it was very, very, loose. But yet, you weren't allowed to,
Sit on them.
No, you could sit on them, but you couldn't say, it was so weird. Like, the whole time, it's like, oh, you're training all these Google stuff. You cannot say you work for Google. Do not tell your family you work for Google.
Why don't they want you telling your family that you work for Google?
I don't know. I don't know. But the company I work for now is like, yeah, tell everybody. Put it up on Facebook. Let them know you're their guy. It's like...
I mean, people with military clearance don't have that level of secrecy.
It was weird. It was weird.
All right. Duck Dynasty fan fiction. This picks up on where...
Did you set it up already? I was doing work stuff.
Oh.
Did you set it up?
Well, we're talking about Google.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this carries on.
Are you done talking
about
Google?
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm
gonna set up the fan fiction. This carries on from last. I guess it was like a month ago now. But basically,
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Duck Dynasty is hired by the Pope, the President, and the Pope to hunt down and kill homosexuals. There is a big awards, the GLAAD Awards in San Francisco. They're giving Neil Patrick Harris the Queer of the Year Award, and they're closing out the ceremony by having Miley Cyrus perform Cunnilingus on Ellen DeGeneres on live television. Duck Dynasty has to stop this for God and his country. He has enlisted the help of his little nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie Dynasty, as well as Crazy Uncle Quackers. They are on their way to San Francisco in the Duck Jet. This is The Adventures of Duck Dynasty, Episode 2. What's the name of it?
Plan of Attack.
Go, Dave.
Should be Plan of a Quack.
Ah, I didn't think of that.
It's not too late to change it. You want me to edit it?
Yeah, yeah, change it.
Episode 2, Plan of a Quack. The duck jet soared majestically through the night sky as majestically as an actual duck soars through the night sky as well. Duck Dynasty at the controls. From up here above the clouds, you can truly appreciate the glory of God's vast kingdom, said Duck Dynasty. Look up at the stars, little nephews. It took those little pinpricks of light over 6,000 years to reach us. God sure is great, Unky Duck, said Huey Dynasty. Praise his name, Unky Duck, said Huey Dynasty. Let the heathen faggots be tortured in eternal hellfire, Unky Duck, said Louie Duck.
Louie Dynasty, did I do it again?
Yeah, the stars are a lot further away than that, said Uncle Quackers. Ooh, shucky ducky quack quack. Duck Dynasty sighed and rolled his eyes. Just ignore Uncle Quackers, little nephews. You know his mind ain't right. Duck Dynasty expertly glided the duck jet to a smooth water landing in San Francisco Bay. The duck jet could land in water, like a duck. It was also a boat, because ducks. Land, too. It was as versatile as a duck. Unlike a duck, it contained enough firepower to turn a whole battalion of dick-sucking Sunday-dancing dandies into red stains of disgrace on the surface of God's green earth. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough firepower to destroy the Astroglide Arena, causing it to collapse inward on itself, burying all the queers inside under the rubble, burning them to death in flames that would only serve as a grim precursor to the torments of hellfire they would be subjected to for all eternity. They'd have to do it the hard way, infiltrate the GLAAD Awards, and destroy it from the inside. All right, little nephews, Uncle Quackers, gather. All right, little nephews, Uncle Quackers, gather around. Duck Dynasty called to his family, his team. This is our plan of a quack. We have to sneak into the Astroglide Arena, and we can't come in through the rear because that's exactly how those faggots like it. So we got to go through the front. We'll face a lot of resistance. That's where you come in, Uncle Quackers. Remember what those godforsaken gooks did to you and your brothers in arms in Vietnam. I can't raise my arms over my head. Ooh, shucky ducky quack quack, shouted Uncle Quackers.
Need some water?
I'm good. Show those slant-eyed, slope-headed heathens the righteous wrath of the Lord, said Duck Dynasty. While Uncle Quackers cuts a path of death through the faggots he thinks are gooks, you little nephews are going to sneak into the basement and plant bombs along the support beams. That should be enough explosive to send everyone inside to the Lake of Fire, but I can't risk NPH, Ellen, or Miley Cyrus escaping. I'll sneak backstage and introduce them to my Desert Eagles. You boys plant the explosives and get back to the duck jet. Don't blow it until I give you the signal. If I'm not out by the time NPH receives the Queer of the Year award, you know what to do. We can't let Ellen's vagina lips touch Miley Cyrus's face lips under any circumstances. Do you understand? Yes, Unky Duck, said Huey Duck.
Huey Dynasty. Did I do it again?
Yeah.
God damn it. Their last names are Dynasty.
We can't let those faggots corrupt the youth of America, Unky Duck, said Dewey Dynasty. The Lord will commend you for your sacrifice, Unky Duck, said Louie Duck.
Dynasty supposed to be Dynasty.
I hope it won't come to that, little nephews, said Duck Dynasty. We just have to rest assured that the Lord is on our side. Let us pray. The Dynasty clan bowed their heads. Lord, we have gathered here today in the heart of a wretched faggotry to end the wicked homosexual menace to your glorious kingdom, Duck Dynasty said. Lord, please watch over me, my little nephews, and even crazy old Uncle Quackers as we righteously murder thousands of faggots, queers, dykes, and transgenders in your holy name. May you bless our bullets and our bombs, bless our guns and our duck jet, and guide our shots true through the hearts of the faggots. May you keep us clean of the gallons upon gallons of AIDS-infected blood and semen we shall spill through the streets of San Francisco. May you keep our merchandise in every Walmart and Cracker Barrel. May you keep our duck calls in every Gander Mountain and Bass Pro Shop. May you keep our high ratings in the hearts and minds of Americans content and unquestioning. In Jesus' name we pray, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Go Team Dynasty, said Huey Dynasty. The Lord is my shepherd, said Dewey Dynasty. God hates fags, said Louie Duck. The very fact that God's existence is a non-falsifiable assertion is an excellent reason to believe it, said Uncle Quackers. Ooh, shucky ducky quack quack. Duck Dynasty couldn't help but smile. God takes care of fools and children. Uncle Quackers was a fool. The little nephews were children. And Duck Dynasty, well, he could take care of himself.
To be continued. So the next episode, they'll actually do the attack. What's the waiting quack. For them inside? Oh, quack. I'm sorry. I mean, there's a lot of faggots. You know, is God on their side? You know, who knows? I think that's up in the air.
The best picture from the Oscars about a month ago was Jared Leto was dressed in like a white suit with like his glorious long red hair. And there's a picture of him, like he's got like a beard looking to the side doing the like finger point. Somebody tweeted a picture of him next to Buddy Christ from Dogma. And they look exactly alike. He should play Buddy Christ.
If they do a Dogma reboot.
I love
It's been 10 years.
I love
it's
Dogma,
It's time for
dude.
A Dogma reboot.
It's been 16 years.
No, then it's definitely time for a Dogma reboot.
I love Dogma, dude. I just rewatched it like a month ago, and it holds up. It's good.
It's all right.
I love it. I love it.
It's probably Kevin Smith's like fourth best film.
It's my favorite Kevin Smith film. My favorite. All
right.
By far.
You're entitled to that opinion.
You plugging anything else? We got Hannibal.
I talked about Hannibal.
It's on
I mentioned
NBC.
My DVD coming out.
It's on
my
DVR.
CD coming out. I don't know when this, what week it is, because I forgot.
It's like so the 20th or something.
I'm going to assume I have nothing going on.
It's, you just headlined, or you featured at the Funny Farm last week.
Yeah, I did that. That was a thing I did.
This is probably like the 23rd or so.
Okay. Well, if that is when today is, then I got a show in Lakewood on the 24th.
Tomorrow-ish?
Yeah, Barrio. It's just like a showcase thing. Bill Squire runs it. It's a weekly thing in Lakewood on Mondays.
What is it that?
Barrio is the name of it. Hilario at Barrio is the name of the show.
Tyler's been doing stand-up again in Cleveland.
I see that, yes. And then I'll be at Redstone on April 8th. And that's, Jesus, I got to get some...
You're taking March and April off. I recorded a CD. I don't need to do anything ever again.
Yeah, I really need to get some stuff.
Hey, Eric.
This is all I have, really.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
What is this? I already want... Hello?
Hi, is Eric there?
It's Eric. Don't say it's Eric.
Hi, Eric. It's Eric.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
We need to book some shows.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't kill the momentum. You have a great CD now. You will. Build it up. Sell it. We'll sell it online.
I got you.
We'll arrange something online. We'll sell it. We'll get some traffic to it. We'll do some things. Okay. You should hire Dave as head of your marketing. He'll run the online campaign. He'll get your CD out there.
You sure this isn't Dave? Because it sounds like Dave.
No, this is Eric.
All right.
Eric.
How did I call myself?
On your cell phone.
Well, I guess that makes sense. It is my cell phone.
Yep. All right. That's it. I have... Actually, last week, I will plug something.
Happened last week?
Yeah. Last week, it might have been 2 weeks ago by now. Actually, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Podcast Square, the podcast I was on for 3.5 years, we put up our final episode, just us chit-chatting for an hour or so about...
And that's what you review of the podcast?
We reviewed for a little bit, and then we stopped reviewing.
Then what did you do?
Talked about other stuff.
Okay.
And so it put up its final episode a couple weeks ago.
When are we doing our final episode?
You promised me at least 2 more years. Probably after the next live show in 2015.
All right.
Oh, wait, no, it'd be 2016. March 8th, 2016.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I don't remember. Was it March 8th, 2015? Might be March 8th, 2015.
It was next year, and then 2 years will be us saying that didn't work.
Yeah, so we got 2 more years planned of this. But yeah, Movies on Up. Check Movies on Up. We have episodes up every week now. We dialed it back. Most of them are just 1 episode a week now. That's all we need. I got some cool stuff coming up, but keep an eye on DaveBasella.com. I doubt it's launched yet, but me and Tony are launching a new site that'll make it easier to get everything that I'm involved in and my friends are involved in. We'll put it all in one spot. But that's it. Hit us up at Eric and Dave on Twitter, Facebook.com/Eric and Dave.
Oh, listen to Facts. That's my
podcast. Yeah, FactsPodcast.com. I was lucky enough to co-host a couple episodes that I thought went fantastic. Uh-huh.
Differing opinions on that.
That was like a month and a half ago now.
Oh, and Laugh Track.
Oh, yeah, Laugh Track.
My dad
show.
Does that with Mike Kalanich.
Yeah.
Who is my Facts podcast co-host.
Yeah.
He's a longtime contributor to this show.
Yeah, and me and Mike may have a podcast together someday, some point.
A lot of podcasting going around.
So, yeah, keep an eye on us. We'll keep you posted. Facebook.com/Eric and Dave, ericanddave.com. Hit us up on iTunes, leave us reviews, Stitcher, do what you do on Stitcher. And until whenever we see you again, this has been Eric and Dave talking with Eric and Dave. I'm Dave.
I'm Eric.
And we'll see you again.
Get that pussy, son. Get it.